Today's scripture reading comes from the book of Philemon, verses 1 through 7. If you're using the Bibles under the bench, this can be found on page 1060. Again, that's Philemon 1 through 7. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer, to the beloved Apphia, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother.
I want to mention this with regards to Reagan and Garrett. Wes handed this little thank you note and wanted to make sure we shared this. It says, Reagan would like to thank everyone for their surprise contribution, most of all for the prayers and support. They arrived back in Blackpool about 3 a.m. this Sunday. Please continue to keep them in your prayers and stay in touch with them. And I'll pass this on to Linda as well. That way we can let folks know that they're very grateful for the contribution that was given with regards to their special day, their marriage, and appreciate your support for that. I want you to turn in your Bibles this morning to the book of Philemon. I appreciate Gary reading those first seven verses in that book. The passage that we are going to focus on in particular is in Philemon in verse 7. Before we involve ourselves in the text, I want us to think about the character of Philemon for a moment. Other than the letter that we have before us, the scriptures are very silent with regards to Philemon. However, Paul mentioned some names in his letter to Philemon that affords us the opportunity to do a little cross-referencing and try to develop some type of a profile with regards to this character. When one reads the book of Philemon, it obviously consists of one chapter, 25 verses, and one can take away from that three, at least, main characters in that book. There is Philemon, of course. There is the Apostle Paul. And then there is a fellow by the name of Onesimus, who was a runaway slave. The characters in that book help us develop again this profile with regards to Philemon. The letter is primarily about this slave owner who is a Christian, Philemon, his runaway slave, Onesimus, and Paul's instruction to Philemon on what he needs to do, how he needs to behave towards Onesimus, who you viewed primarily just as a slave, but he's since his departure from you and his arrival and his conversion to Christ, he's more than just a slave to you. You see, Philemon, he's your brother in Christ. Now, there's some moving pieces and parts. I just threw a lot out at you right there. when you go back and you read the book of Colossians, in Colossians you'll see some of those very names that Gary just read for you. You're able to connect Philemon with indeed the book of Colossians. For example, Archippus is one name that is mentioned, and Onesimus. And lo and behold, you go back to the book of Colossians and you look in chapter 4 and verse 9, and also in verse 17, you'll see those two names. And when you're reading the book of Philemon, there in verse 2, you see Archippus, and then you also see Philemon in verse 10. So we have an obvious link between the book of Colossians and Philemon. How in the world this conversion came about with Onesimus is an interesting thought for one to dwell on. You remember, perhaps you know, that Philemon is one of those prison epistles that Paul wrote. Philemon departs, or Onesimus leaves Philemon, and apparently he must make his way to Rome because he is converted by the Apostle Paul. Paul converts him because this is the basis of the letter. He's been converted. He is a Christian. Here's what I want you to do, Philemon. I want you to receive him back. He's your brother in Christ. We'll talk a little bit about that more in just a moment. But that's the gist of it. It's also noteworthy that Paul never visited the city of Colossae. But yet, Philemon was a convert of Paul. Whenever you read the book of Philemon, there in verse 19. As a matter of fact, I think Paul in verse 19 uses that as some leverage in his letter to Philemon, in his actions, what he expects from Philemon. So, when and where exactly was Philemon converted to Christ by Paul? Pure speculation. Paul was never in Colossae, at least if you look on his missionary trips and you follow the green, black, and yellow or red lines, you never see him in Colossae. He's not there. So we are probably left to speculate that Philemon was somewhere else where Paul was. Now, that somewhere else could potentially be Ephesus, not terribly too far away, that he just happened to hear a message that was preached by Paul. And he became a Christian. The main thrust of the story in Philemon is this. Philemon, he is a caring Christian who was very proactive in his faith. Verses 2 through 7. He hosted the church in his home. He had a house church. They didn't have church buildings like we have today, folks. Verse 2. He had a great love for the Lord and the Lord's church. Verse 5 of Philemon. Verse 6. He shared his faith, Paul says. But there is something about Philemon that I want you to lock in on this morning in verse 7. You have your Bibles. I want you to notice exactly what Paul says here. In Philemon in verse 7. Paul says the following. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. The hearts of the church, the Christians, have been refreshed by you, brother. The Greek word here for refresh means and conveys the idea of one who is well rested up. Ever had one of those days, weeks, moments in your life where it just when it rains, it pours. See, I didn't need to finish it. You finished it for me. You've had episodes in your life where it's just like, man, oh man, you know, I'm just a target. Anything that can go wrong will go wrong. Everything that seems like the world's just caving in around me, nothing's going right. You've had those moments, you've had those weeks, those episodes where it's just like, you know what I need to do? I need to just get away, step out of the rat race, get away from everything, rest up, eat well, relax, hit the reset button, and I feel refreshed. I feel refreshed. That's not scriptural for that. We must work for the Lord, and we must... You know, Jesus got away from the crowd, folks. I don't know what Bible you're reading, but I'm trying to tell you. He needed some normal, and he had to get away and be with God. Okay? So, he needed refreshed. And God refreshed him. And he could go back and be Jesus and do what Jesus does. Serve and obey God's will and be that light in this dark world. So, that's that's the gist of it. How exactly did Philemon refresh the church? Because that's what Paul was saying. He was refreshing to the church. In other words, let me put it like this to you. Philemon was a breath of fresh air. That's what he was. He was a breath of fresh air. Let me ask you something. Are you a breath of fresh air? Are you a breath of fresh air? You know, it's been said there's two types of people in this world. There's those that you love to see come and there's those that you love to see go. Now, I'm not going to fill in the blanks for you. You know, but it's something to think about, isn't it? Are you a breath of fresh air to those that are around you? How in the world was Philemon a breath of fresh air? First, let me suggest to you something before we look at that. This implies something. It suggests something. If someone is a breath of fresh air, they need to be refreshed. It implies the fact that there's things going on in their life that pushes them to that point that they need to be refreshed. Let me ask you, is there anything in your life that's weighing you down? That's troubled your heart? I mean, you feel like you're just in the storm of life. You doesn't matter what direction you turn, it seems to always be the wrong thing and turn out to be the wrong thing. You don't go looking for trouble. Trouble goes looking for you or comes looking for you. Physically, spiritually, emotionally, it's just falling apart. You see, there's things in our life, folks, that happen to us where God knows we need to be refreshed. We need to be refreshed. Philemon, I believe, was one of those individuals. Based upon what Paul is saying, he says, you're refreshing to the brethren. You're a breath of fresh air. That served as a very instrumental person in the church to help keep the church together and help keep sanity. You see, outside of Philemon, we make a connection to the book of Colossians. There's a few ways that I think that Paul did, or Philemon did that. First of all, church, I would suggest to you that Philemon saw the onslaught of false teaching that existed there in Colossae, and how it bogged the church down, it weighed the church down, that he helped bring about a sense of normal, of godliness. Consider Colossians in chapter 2, for example, in verse 4. Paul says this, "Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words." And then he comes on down in verse 8 of that same chapter, in that same book. He says, "Beware, lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ." Then he comes on down in verse 16. "Let no one judge you in food or drink regarding festivals or new moon or Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and the worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind." The church was being bombarded with false teaching. It appears that when you read the book of Colossians, there is that element of Judaizing teachers that would come and try to take that yoke, that Mosaic law, and put it around the neck of the new converted Christian and say, "Well, yes, you can obey Jesus, but you've got to hold to the old law as well." And Paul makes it very clear in the book of Colossians that that is not the case. That is not the case. But this is interesting when Paul talks about how misguided these teachers are. Is it the same group of teachers or is it a different group of false teachers? I don't know. But he talks about the worshiping of angels. These people are so messed up, they don't even know who to worship anymore. You worship God. You don't worship angels or anyone else or anything else. False teaching can trouble a church. False teaching does trouble a church. And if we're not troubled by false teaching, then we need to reevaluate and reassess our relationship with the Lord and what we're doing. Philemon is one of those individuals, whenever error comes into the church, that you could tap on the shoulder and say, "Philemon, help us out here." He was mature enough to weigh in on the matter and say, scripturally, spiritually, for the embetterment of Christ and His kingdom, this is what we need to be doing. Ever been around, don't mention any names, someone, I mean, just, man, you got to measure everything they say because you just, is it true or not true? And after a while, the lie is just repeated so many times that you begin to think, am I losing my mind? Maybe he's right. Maybe she's right. I can see that going on in Colossae and someone like Philemon stepping in and saying, "Look, you're not losing your mind. This is what the Lord says. This is what we ought to be doing and what we need to be doing." Oh, a breath of fresh air. That's a breath of fresh air. When the church has gone through its identity crisis, brethren, we needed some good, sound preachers and elders to stand up and say, "Not here. The church belongs to the Lord, and it's time to give it back to Him." That would be a breath of fresh air. Instead of being tossed to and fro by every deceitful wind of doctrine, you see. I believe that was Philemon. When the church was troubled with false teaching, he was one of those mature members that stepped up and said, it's not of God. We need to be faithful to the Lord. I think that the evidence points to the fact that there were other things that the church was going through with regards to temptation in Colossae. The church was constantly being tempted, prodded, and pulled back into the world. Forfeit your identity. You know that story of Jacob and Esau, the selling of the birthright. You know, well, brethren, spiritually, there's a lot of folks forfeiting their birth in Christ on a daily basis. Just trading it in for the world or something that looks more appealing or better. You go to Colossians and you look there in chapter 3, and Paul in his letter here, beginning in verse 5, he appeals to them. He says, therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and you put on the new man who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who has created him. Where there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. Now, if you caught that and you can make a connection between what Paul is saying here, actually in verse 11 with what he's writing to Philemon, he says this. There's just one family of God. And it doesn't matter who you are or what you are if you're converted to Jesus Christ. Slave or free, you're a child of God. Greek or Jew, doesn't matter. If you've obeyed the gospel and you're living faithfully unto the Lord, you're a child of His. But you see, they, like us, are tempted to be drawn back into the world. They, like us, whenever the sins of the world begin to melt up and captivate and capture our hearts and our lives, people like Philemon can step in and say, you know what? That's not a wise choice. And maybe that's not what we want to hear at that time, but that's what we need to hear. That's the type of preaching and teaching we need today, church, is what we need to hear. We're being pulled and tugged to forsake our identity as Christians. And Philemon was that type of individual who could just step in and say, that's not prudent, that's not wise. You know better than that. And in our hearts we know that someone like Philemon, you're right. You're truly a breath of fresh air. You're advising me in things that I need to do and that I ought to be doing. Three, the church had internal problems, namely their relationships with one another. If you look in Colossians in chapter 3, I want you to notice in verse 13 what Paul is encouraging them to do, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against one another, even as Christ forgave you, so also you must do. If the church wasn't dealing with problems like this, then why would Paul instruct them what they ought to do, be doing? Rather, one of the greatest ways that the devil can hurt the church, demoralize the church, is by provoking the church to not focus on him, but on one another. And pick and fight and fuss with one another. Thank God for people like Philemon that could step in and say, hey, look, God has called us to peace. Internal peace. The peace that we can have through Christ personally. You see, that was the only way that Paul could preach the gospel and write these letters. Do you understand who he was before he became a Christian? Do you know what he did? He labeled himself as the chief of sinners. Do you know how many homes were wrecked because of his direct hand of destruction and persecution against the Christians? How many innocent lives were destroyed by him? He understood. Here's a man who understood a relationship with the Lord, who understood what conversion is, who understood what grace is, and who understood that God allows me to start all over. And before I can ever begin this fight for the Lord and run this race, I've got to learn to forgive me. Oh, sure, there'll be others out there that don't get it, that will harbor ill will. No wonder Paul wrote what he did. Go back and read Romans chapter 12. As much as possible, live at peace with those who are among you. And then he goes on and he tells the church, vengeance belongs to who? God. It's not with me. We need to be at peace with one another. And churches that are not at peace with one another are in constant turmoil and struggling. And I'm going to tell you, that gets old. It wears the church down. Absolutely sucks the life right out of the church. Philemon, no doubt, was the type of man that could step in and remind Christians of who they are, what they are, and how they are to behave. He was a breath of fresh air. I would be missing this, we'd be missing the point if we didn't illustrate this. In the book of Philemon, there was a sermon for Philemon as well. You see, Paul uses this word again, refreshed, in verse 20 in Philemon. He says, yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. How was Philemon to refresh Paul's heart? Philemon, you're going to refresh my heart. Because this runaway slave, he's no longer viewed as a slave. So you don't need to look at him as a slave. You need to look at him as a brother in Jesus Christ. And he will be of benefit to you. You want to refresh my heart? You do the right thing. You receive him back as a brother. And you treat him as a brother. It's refreshing. It's refreshing when God's people do what God calls them to do. I want to encourage you today to be mindful of how you're living your life for Christ, because that's one of the things that Paul points out in Colossians in chapter 1 and verses 9 and 10. He wanted them to walk worthy of the Lord, he would say. Colossians chapter 4 and verses 5 through 6. He would put them on notice about being aware of their conduct and who their master is. Why is that? Folks, our cities, this country, this world is full of troubled souls who need a breath of fresh air. And there is no greater group of people that can be that breath of fresh air than God's people. I want to encourage you today to do the right thing. If you're not a Christian, you've heard the gospel. Do you believe it? I want to encourage you today, if you believe the gospel, you're not a Christian, that you respond to the invitation this morning, that you come forward, that you repent of your sins, that you confess Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, your Master. And I'm going to tell you, this will be a confession, a profession that God will want you to make every day of your life. And be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness, the remission of those sins. Baptism, scriptural baptism, always depicts an immersion under water. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Don't look at me and tell me it's not a big deal. It is a big deal whenever the Apostle Paul says, when we are baptized into Christ, we are baptized into His death. What did Jesus shed at His death? His blood. You see, that's where we come in contact with Jesus' blood and His death. Just as Jesus rose from that grave to be with the Father, we rise from that watery grave to walk and live a new life. One that's refreshing. Maybe you've done that. And maybe this doesn't personify or depict you as a Christian today. You want to repent. You want to return to the Lord. You want to, first of all, be refreshed. And no one can refresh you like God. You want to be refreshed. You want to get your heart and your life right. And be the person that God has called you to be. If you feel like you need to respond to the invitation, please come forward. Together we stand and we sing.